Hallelujah. Would you reach to the Lord right now and ask the Lord to give you what you need today? Hallelujah. Ask Him, lift up your voice. God, give us what we need today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear. Help us to understand today. Praise God. You know what we have need of before we ask. Hallelujah. Because you care about us, because we're part of your church. That's why you know. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. John 15. Amen. And while you're turning there, I'll just share that with you. Do you know why the hairs of your head are numbered? Do you know why He knows what you have need of before you ask? It's not just because He's omniscient. That's not the reason why. You say, well, God knows everything, Brother Joe. Well, yeah, He does know everything. He knows the hairs of your head are numbered, and He knows what you have need of because you are valuable to Him, because you belong to Him. He made it a point to know what things you have need of. It's not an impersonal statement. You are important to Him. Isn't that the song we've heard sung before? You are important to me. I need you to survive. Look, Jesus, you're His bride. You're important to Him. That was His message. You're so important to me, the very hairs of your head are numbered. To you, He said. He didn't say that to a world He's going to cast into a furnace that refused His gospel. But He does say it to you. Hallelujah. Don't you ever let the devil tell you you're not important. Don't ever listen to your flesh like the pastor preached a few nights ago. Don't ever listen to the choir that comes with the flesh that teaches you something different than the Word of God. You belong to Him. That's why He is mindful. That's why He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. You mean something to Him. You are special. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You are in, that's what He's saying to you. You are important to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. All right, let me read this verse so you can be seated. Verse 16 of the 15th chapter of the book of John. Praise the Lord. I just don't like it when people try to scientifically explain God. You know, go write a book or something. Don't talk to me about how omnipotent and all-knowing, and make Him so generic that He is what He is because He's just supposed to be that. It's a little deeper than that. And I'm not here to take away from Him being all-powerful. But He's all-powerful for a reason. He doesn't need you to know He's all-powerful. But we learned that He is. Verse 16 of the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, says these words, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it. He's purposed to perform it. And the one thing that we get to learn to do in the kingdom of God is we get to learn how to develop as a child of God. We get to learn how to grow. We get to learn, we're going to read a verse of Scripture, how to add to our life, as we read in 2 Peter 1. We get to learn how to become something. We're not just here to overwhelm our thinking about all the things that we need and that we can do for God, but let's concentrate on what we can be for God and what God intends us to be for Him. Because if we're not anything in God and for God, then what's the sense of growing by numbers if there's nothing to give to the numbers? You know, if we ourselves are in just as need as the numbers are. So when we read a scripture like the 16th verse, it's not just talking about soul winning. And neither am I in any way putting any sort of non-emphasis on soul winning either. No more than I was trying to put a lack of emphasis on how all-knowing and how all-powerful and how all-existent God is. Just wanted to say some things because we need to learn some of these things to help us to grow so that we can really see just how personal this being one with the Father really is. I don't want to make this thing so generic and so impersonal that I don't walk like I can walk. I mean, if Jesus wanted to be a distant Savior, he never would have been manifest in the flesh. He would have never had the days of his flesh. But he had those days because he wanted to be and chose to be made like unto his brethren, to be touched by the feeling of their infirmities. That's why he didn't stay hanging out in the temple and in the synagogues. No, he went to the highways and to the byways. What he preached by example. That he went where the needs were. He went doing good, being anointed and blessed of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, not to cause a great fame for himself, because there were needs that he was genuinely concerned about. He did not stop that woman who was carrying her dead son just so he could say, well, I want them to write this in the book and preach about this in the 21st century. No, that woman was weeping, she was crying, she was hurt, she lost her son, and he just made her day. Because he's that type of God. Just like he'll stop and take the time to make your day too. When your day's all crummy and there's dead things all around you, he'll just stop your little buyer procession and he'll say, hey, why don't you go home a little livelier than you are today? Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because he does know all things. Why? Because he is all things. Why? Because he is everywhere. And that means something. That means something. That's not just something to write another book about. That's something to live by. That's something to develop by. That's something to become something by. Hallelujah. And thank God for the truth. See, this is what the truth shall set you free is all about. It doesn't stop at Acts 2:38. It only starts. It just begins. Like the song says, I just started living. I found me a brand new life. Changed my direction. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. So there's some things here to see in this verse. And before we do, I just simply just want to read 2 Peter 1, chapter 1 to you. Just so we can tie a couple of scriptures in. I'm going to make a few comments and hopefully see you go home with what you need today. I hate every enemy. I hate every devil. I hate the lies of humanity. And I think as children of God, we inherit a hatred towards the evil that would try to bring everybody down. Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would not be taken out of the world, but kept from the evil of the world. Because God hates every false way. He hates evil. He loves the sinner, but he hates the evil. And that's the fine line of the gospel. The gospel is able to sever us from the evil God hates and save us at the same time. And we get to manifest that same ability. And that's what part of this fruit's all about. Part of the there's such a wonderful subject, and I'm going to try to just touch on it enough to give you a thought enough to make you go home and dig in the Word of God. And I'm not saying that any of us here per se don't know these things, but it's good to remind ourselves of these things because there's not everybody knows how to do this thing, if you will. Some people just don't get it. Some people are hiccuping and stumbling over the smallest and the most simplest things, and their focus is not on the right things. And if the focus can get on the right things, then you can find yourself now not hiccuping on the silly things. See, what we want to do is we want to become something that can start growing and moving and flowing with God, and your own personal development in Christ Jesus can flourish, amen, like a green tree. Like the scriptures say in the Old Testament, that you can become something. Like it's written in Psalm 1 and verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's where God's wanting to bring every one of us as individuals in Christ Jesus. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to live for God. He wants us to be consistent. He wants us to learn how to be faithful. He wants us to learn how to be an overcomer. He wants us to learn how to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. He wants us to know some of these things that will benefit us because we're his bride. Hallelujah. Glory. We're just his bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ought to be bouncing when the pastor's done preaching. I can remember times past when, you know, you think you want to ask some people that show up, were you here? Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1. I'll leave that. That's pastoral. I'll leave that for the pastor. 2 Peter 1. My Bible's falling all apart. Actually, my wife's Bible. Well, glory. Thank God heaven doesn't fall apart. We got loose leaf now. Hallelujah. Here, I think I'll just pick it up and read it. 2 Peter 1. And it says here, verse 4 will begin. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to, everyone say add to.
Add to.
Because people that are God's people are an add to people, not a take away people. So again, God has an arithmetic class. He teaches you, you don't sell the truth after you've bought the truth. You bought the truth because you're adding truth to your life. And the fruit of righteousness is in all truth and godliness. And so that's where it's at. So you don't sell what's going to make you fruitful. You keep what's going to make you fruitful, and you get rid of what's not. So here we read, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith goodness or virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Add to all this. Add to your faith. He didn't say set up shop because you know Acts 3:38 and a couple of one God scriptures and woohoo, you know you've got it made. He said add to, grow. Learn how to be what you say you now are. Learn how to live Acts 2:38. So that the people that you're reaching for can experience Acts 2:38 before they even read Acts 2:38 or even know what Acts 2:38 is all about. Acts 2:38 is such a powerful, powerful, powerful scripture and a powerful recipe from the master chef that causes us to be separated from a world of sin. Look, this isn't just about, we don't have to spend all of our time in doctrinal wars with the world about who's right. God's right. Look, the Apostle John said it like this, we know that we are of the truth and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So that's just a statement of this is the way it really is no matter what wickedness says. And we know that we've got an entire recipe that can simply convert the entire world from darkness unto light. And so we are taught not just to know Acts 2:38, but to walk it and to live it. Walk as children of light, as children of the day. So it all boils back to being what we say we really are, developing into what we say we know. Praise the Lord. And we do that by bearing fruit that pleases God. God's way of looking at what bearing fruit is. In Genesis 1, what did God create? He created fruit-yielding trees that had seed that would yield and produce fruit after its kind. So we see naturally that God creates things that produce and continue to produce and continue to yield. And what's the scripture say in 1 John 3? That we cannot sin because we're of God, because our seed remains in us. And so he puts something in us that bears righteousness and can't sin because what God creates and what he produces doesn't go backwards. It produces fruit. Every child of God is a fruit-yielding, if you will, tree. A fruit-producing person. That's his design. And I wanted to read this verse, come up to this verse. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. I'm just going to have to pick it up. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With the focus here again on this verse of Scripture, that if these things be in us and abound, these things be in us and abound. And I'm focusing today on the fruit that we're going to read about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That fruit. And again, I'm not in any way deterring from soul winning as far as looking at people being fruit that are added to the church. Not in any way. But we need fruit. We need to be bearing fruit in our own life as individuals before God. He that lacketh these things, he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful. If adding these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And begin to meditate on that verse about forgetting that you are purged from your old sins and lacking these things. And just want to make this quick comment to you that if we forget where we've come from, we're not mindful of where we're going, because they do go hand in hand with one another. When we remember and are aware that we were once darkness, but now we're washed. We were once whoremongers. We were once liars. We were once wicked and evil thinkers, abominable. We were a lot of things before we came to God, but today we're washed. Today we're justified. Today we're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And if we're aware that these things have happened in our life, and oh, how sweet it is to live for God, then somehow I got a feeling that we're not forgetful hearers, but we are mindful of where God has brought us from, and we are mindful of where we are going, because we were bought to serve God. We were bought to live for God. We were bought to be with Him forever and ever. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're walking towards heaven. So we can't not be mindful of where we're going, because that just doesn't make any spiritual sense. Right? We have to be mindful that we're sons of God, we're children of God, and we're going somewhere. We're strangers and we're pilgrims. So back to John 15, and let me just try to wrap this up a little. And we'll read a verse of Scripture. I just want to make a couple of comments about this verse to throw a few things in here. And I'm going to read another verse to you, and you can just keep your place in John. Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've established something. I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So the first question comes, well, what's the fruit? You may have that, well, what's the fruit that he's talking about? And we read in the Word of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, and faith. And he mentions all of these things, that the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if Christ is in us, if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, then there's going to be, in other words, fruit produced out of our life or manifested that Christ is there. It's very simple. If Christ isn't there, then we're filled with unrighteousness, which is, you know, everything that's named in the verse 21 before, and envy and wrath and murder and adultery and fornication and lying and stealing and all the things that come with just not living for God. Our works, they're also in Ephesians 5 referred to as the unfruitful works of darkness that we do not want in our life. If we have that in our life, like he read the other night, then what's in us is really Antichrist. What's in us is a spirit of error, and not the spirit of truth, because the spirit of truth has fruit to it. Let me read to you a quick natural thing that took place with Jesus and his disciples when he went back into Jerusalem, and maybe this can paint a picture for you. He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. He came to it because it's a fig tree. Fig trees bear figs. This fruit, I'm hungry. I want to go get something to eat. And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And it presently the fig tree withered away. And what this really is something that, number one, he did do. Disciples all looked at the tree and it withered instantly. And they marveled in themselves, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered? But it also demonstrates to all of us the desire of God that we bear fruit. And just how important the emphasis is that he places on us that we do bear fruit. And what he's going to do if there is no fruit. And that sounds a little strong, but when you look at the Word of God, look at John 15, the beginning of the chapter. He explains very carefully about what takes place when he finds no fruit thereon. Look, we do not want to be just pretty leaves Christians. We don't want to look the part. We don't want to have a form of godliness but deny the power. We don't want to live a life that we have forgotten that he took all this time and effort over the centuries bringing about a word from the throne to save us from our sins, only to live a life that looks the part but isn't the part. But if we've got the fruit, then we are the part. Then we truly remember it and haven't forgotten that he severed us from a world of sin and he produced himself. He made us a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. God help me right now. And the fruit that he wants us to bear is the fruit of himself in us. It's something that's first and foremost, as well as going to the highways and byways. And look, he went to the highways and byways so he could put fruit in them. Praise God. Not so he could send people to China, necessarily, or make them missionaries. And, you know, some people's focus on what fruit is all on the wrong thing. Then they're not living right, so they're not fruitful. So get the first things first right, and then worry about the other things later. Get the fruit inside of you. So the scripture here is very... let me just share these two verses, because look at what verse 16 is saying, and this is what I'm trying to get to with all my mumbling. Just so much to funnel. Which way do you go? What scripture do you pluck off of the tree of life here? But let me just wrap it up with these two. With this verse of scripture, he came to the fig tree. There was no figs. He cursed it. It withered. So I get the impression he likes trees with fruit. And every tree that does not bring forth fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Now, verse 16 says this. Listen to the words very carefully. He said, I have chosen you, I have ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. See, if we let these things abound, then we'll never fall. Why is that? Because what he produces in our life remains. He is a consistent Savior. He is a consistent God. He can keep you from falling. He can keep the fruit. He can keep the fruit, and you can keep the fruit while walking with him so that you don't end up shriveled, smelly, nasty, squashy fruit, that you can be ripe fruit and ready fruit. But look at what the scripture says. You should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Gives me the impression that in order for me, listen very carefully so you don't think I'm trying to like twist scripture here, but listen to what the scripture is implying. It's implying that if I want to have something coming from God to me, then I need some fruit. Glory. That you should go and bring forth fruit, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. I've chosen, I've established beforehand, I've made it possible so that you can go and bring forth fruit. That, the reason being that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. If we approach the Lord as fruitless trees, look, the scripture says that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the seat of the congregation. For the Lord, the scripture says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And what he is equaling a fruitless tree to is being ungodly. If we are godly, then we've got fruit in us that's able to access the throne. What I'm saying, it's like having a key code that grants us access into all that is called God. That we need the fruit, which is righteousness by Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. It's having the goods in us. If we possess this great salvation experience, we can expect to receive something from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that makes sense. Praise God. Praise God. And Jesus said this as well, and this just continually grows the thought for you, that whatsoever we shall ask the Father, we need fruit, that.
and being in His name, that we ask in His name, is a little bit deeper also than just saying, in Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. I mean, that's great. We're going to do it. It's like we baptize in Jesus' name. But being baptized in Jesus' name puts us in Jesus' name. So now we're somewhere. Like I said at the beginning of this message, you are somebody to God. You're not a nobody. You're His bride, and your bride, the bride has His name. And being in Jesus' name, we've got fruit. And being in Jesus' name, we have access to everything that is called God, everything that's heaven, everything that is yet to come. All we got to do is reach up in Jesus' name. Being in His name. Because being in the name of Jesus is where the power is. It's where the authority is. It's where the fruitfulness is that will keep you in a church pew, living for God, free from sin, free from all unrighteousness and all unholiness, and from every ungodly thing that wants to take you to the pit. Instead, you've got power with God. Because He's ordained it so, and He's put it inside your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, "To him that has shall be given. And to him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have." So when we possess something, what we possess causes more to come to us. And when we don't possess something, I don't want to be on that end. Look, the ones that are going to hear things that are not so good to hear are really going to be the people that look Pentecostal, but they're not. Are going to be those pretty little looking church people that look the part, dressed the part. They do everything they do because they're supposed to do it. They come to church because they're supposed to come to church. They're baptized in Jesus' name because they're supposed to do it. They don't do this. They don't do that. They don't go here. They don't do this because they're not supposed to do all that. Look, be something different than a tree that looks like it's got fruit and have fruit in yourselves. Look, do what you do because you're one with God. Do what you do because you're filled with the love of God. Nobody should tell you how to walk. God can teach that to you Himself if you've got Him dwelling in your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And I think I'm through. And I hope that in some way this message is so wonderful and maybe I provoked your thinking a little bit. Good. Because we want to go to heaven. And God wants you to develop. He wants you to become a Christian. Look, on a church pew in a church that preaches the only message that we can preach, from the only gospel that we can preach, from the only one faith delivered to the saints that we can preach. Do you know how powerful this really is? And for you to come into the church house, I'm saying you being general, okay? I'm not saying that you are here. But for us to come into the church house depressed, oppressed, discouraged, unhappy, unfilled, I'm telling you, it's a crying shame. To come to the church and you don't like this one because they're talking about it. You don't agree with the preacher because he stepped on your toe. Hey, look, what you are is you're telling Jesus, gather me and burn me now. That's what you're saying. Look, it's impossible to be on a church pew and have disagreement with that which is God. Amen. You can't even sit on the pew and feel like you've got some on against your pastor. You cannot do it. I'm telling you scripturally, you cannot do it. If you have inside of your soul any other spirit than that spirit which is of God, you're in trouble today. And God's simply stepping here and He's saying, look, I want you to develop. I want you as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow by that same Word and become fruitful trees, the planting of the Lord. Doesn't get any more simple than that. Praise the Lord. If you want to be a fruitful tree, please God, stand today. Glory, stand today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No greater desire than my children dwell in truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bring forth fruit.
Oh, Jesus, we love you, Jesus.
Bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Bring forth fruit. Give me fruit, the Lord says. I'm hungry for fruit. Give me consistency. Hallelujah. Give me praise. Give me desire. Show me that you want to live right.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. He'll give you a chance to dig a little.
Yes, He will.
Dig around that tree a little. He'll give you some extra time so you can grow some fruit. Get your spirit right. Get your spirit right. He will cast you into hell. He has no problem doing that. But He don't want to do that. Fruit.
Hallelujah.
After a year in church, we ought to see some fruit. After 2 years in church, some fruit. After 5 years, fruit. After 10 years, fruit. After 20, fruit. You can reach into anybody in a service and enjoy a service full of trees, full of fruit. Praise God. You don't know what I've been going through. Fruit. I am the vine. You are the branches. No fruit. What are you connected to today? Once in a while, He steps right in and says, look, I'm really hungry right now. I want my woman to cook me up a meal.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want my bride to show me that she's been in apostolic teaching. That I've given her the best of the best. Call on His name right now. Bless Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He loves you. Hallelujah. You're important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. And let Jesus take over, and He'll make a way for you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up.
Amen.
And let Jesus take over.
Good time to come forward and just do that. Just give up right now all your thoughts, all your concerns. Amen. Relax in the Holy Ghost. Praise the name of Jesus. Get blessed. Amen. Sometimes we carry these heavy loads with us. Why don't we just turn it all over to Jesus and spend a moment just letting the load be lifted. Let Jesus take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Lift your voices to the Lord. Lift your heart up to the mighty God in praise and thanksgiving. He's been good to us. Hallelujah. He's been mighty good to us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He that overcometh, overcometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. He that overcometh,
overcometh in the name of the Lord. He that overcometh, overcometh in the name of the Lord. All power in heaven and earth belongs to that name. Yesterday, today, forever, He remains the same. His arm is not short, His promise is not slack. He that overcomes, overcomes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The righteous run therein. Praise be to God who gives us the victory over sin. When I reach that heavenly place, a happy song will be. We that overcame, overcame in the name of the Lord. Amen. Overcoming power is here if you need it. Amen. Reach out for Jesus. He that overcometh, overcometh in the name of the Lord. He that overcometh, overcometh in the name of the Lord. All power in heaven and earth belongs to that name. Yesterday, today, forever, He remains the same. His arm is not short, promise is not slack. He that overcomes, overcomes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
It's quite a thought. I hadn't thought of it like that, but it's really true. I mean, it's not that God doesn't know the hairs of every dog and every cat and every human on the face of the earth, but He's, you know, what's the point of that? Amen. It's your hairs that are numbered. He was talking to His children. You're the one that I know every little thing about you. In other words, that was God making love to His people. He was saying, you're special. You're mine. I've created you for my glory and for my good. Amen. So let your light so shine. Amen. You're much more valuable than many sparrows. Amen. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That was something that God was relating to His people, said, you're special to me. Amen. Amen. Everything else is going to perish. Everything else is going to burn. It's just whatever is dear to God that receives that kind of talk from Jesus. Jesus cares. He cares. Amen.